The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.
Next on KCBQ, stay tuned for The Portfolio Doctors, Dan Osgood and Stephen Vick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on The Portfolio Doctors are their own and do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The following information is for educational purposes only. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice. Welcome to the Portfolio Doctors on News Talk AM 1170 KCBQ. Your financial future depends on making sound investment decisions. Make sure you get accurate information and a weekly checkup from a source you trust. The Portfolio Doctors will see you now. Live in studio, here are Dan Osgood and Steve Vick, the Portfolio Doctors.
Good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of the Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Vick.
And we join you here every week. Thanks for listening again. We're here every week to help provide some guidance and really help you make the right decision, or at least have the education and understanding of what the impact of making a decision regarding anything financial in your life, whether it's planning for retirement, planning for your future, planning for your kids' education, you name it, anything financially related, we are here as a resource for you. We've between us got just over 50 years of experience, I think we've calculated now. I'm brand new. I read a book just online just last week to learn to be able to do this, but
and I feel like I'm 95, so there you go.
So you know where all of our experience comes from. No, jokes aside, both of us have been doing this since what? I got in this industry in the middle of the 90s, and you were a little before that.
Yes, I think I put my first stock trade on in 1980. What would that be, four?
Wow, you are pretty old. No, but
wow, that's a long time ago. That's 31 years.
That is.
Wow. Huh.
Congratulations.
Well, my anniversary.
You're still here to talk about it.
That's right. Amazing.
Well, with what's going on in the markets these days, I guess you could call it volatile. We are looking at a chart of just the last week or 2 weeks, and it's quite entertaining. It looks a little bit like a pinball machine. It's up, it's down, it's up, it's down, it's over, it's around.
Yeah, it's not a very healthy market, in all honesty. I mean, volatility like this, where literally you're down one day 200 or 200 plus points on the Dow, and then, or, you know, 30 points on the S&P, and then the next day you're up 23, and the next day you're down 25, and then you're up 30, and then you're down 20. I mean, that's not a healthy market.
No.
That's a market that has no direction and doesn't really know where to go. And it also seems to be a market that's gasping for air and is also dealing with, amongst other things, Greece, China, and interest rate, supposed interest rate rises from the Fed and a number of other things. And it's just gasping for air. It's like a fire, you know, when you see the fire slowly going out and that one flame keeps flicking.
Sure.
It sort of feels like that right about now. And certainly international problems are weighing on the market. Same with the local issues. We can deal with them one at a time.
The big one, what, Greece?
I don't know if Greece is that big anymore, to be honest.
But I think it is still weighing on people. But this really seems like deja vu,
right?
Doesn't it? This looks like exactly what we saw, was it 3 years ago?
Well, the big difference between 3 years ago and today is, and I don't know how to pronounce that suppressor's name, but anyway, yes. The prime minister of Greece. But that's the big difference, is him and the previous prime minister. Whereas this prime minister, he's a little bit of a wildcatter that seems to think that Greece has some kind of a power over the European Union. His threat, I think, is well, if we don't pay you guys back and we exit the euro, it's going to be better for us and you guys are going to be in a big world of hurt.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, 3 years ago, that would have been right. Today, if you look at it, they owe about $250 billion or so. And back 3 years ago, a lot of the banks owned that $250 billion, $250 billion, quarter of a trillion, I should have said, worth of debt. That's all been palmed off onto governments now. Essentially, when the governments came with all this bailout money, they sort of took over all that debt. Now, quarter of a trillion dollar write-off isn't you know, a small amount of money, but in the global terms of things and the amount of money that's been printed, I mean, we've been talking about $60 trillion have been flooding the markets for the last 6-8 years. If quarter of a trillion gets written off, it's not really going to have an impact on anybody.
It's just funny money anymore.
It's sort of, and that's really scary in and of itself, right? But in the past, if it were the banks that were going to take that hit, then you would have had a potential massive financial fallout.
And you're talking the European banks or all the banks
of
the world?
To be honest, I mean, yes. I mean, if the big global banks like Deutsche Bank and those guys go under, I mean, it's the same as when Lehman Brothers went down, right? They're also interrelated, and it's a machine that's running, and all the cogs need to be working. So when you take one part of the machine out, the whole thing just grinds.
The domino effect, everything falls
correct.
Over.
Correct. So I think what you've got now is a situation where the governments will just take a big X and just put it through that IOU and go, oh, well, and move on. So I'm not sure it'll have that big of an impact on Europe. Plus, I think that if Greece does exit the euro and the eurozone, the idea is that they depreciate their currency. They'll go back to some form of a drachma, I guess. That currency will fall like a stone, number one. Number two, they'll be hard-pressed to find anyone who's prepared to finance them.
Right.
Right? So now they're still going to be spluttering along, and they're going to have to somehow pay people with some fictitious currency they're going to make up. Once again, it's fiat money, so who really cares? You know, it's not backed by anything.
Right, it's only going to have value in Greece itself.
Pretty much.
Would this be similar to what went on in Russia?
Yeah.
Not that long ago where the ruble was essentially worthless?
Yeah, pretty much. And so, you know, the Greeks will be stuck in Greece trying to fix their problems. It's not going to be a pretty situation. But they think that'll be better. I think that one of the biggest fears that the world had prior to that was, number one, of course, that big write-off of the debt. But the second problem that the world was looking at was, well, if Greece leaves, then Portugal, Spain, Italy, all of them, and
Ireland.
So the whole euro blows apart, right? And that was really the biggest issue. And I think 3 years ago, that was a major concern because all of those countries were teetering on the brink of default. Now, 3 or 4 years later, those countries, their financial situation's a lot more sound, number one. And number two, when Greece actually leaves and those four look over and see the turmoil that's going on in Greece for leaving the euro, I think it might actually whip them into shape to make them even more austere and say, wow, we really need to fix our books up quickly because look what happened in Greece when they left.
So almost a scare.
Yeah.
Scare them into behaving properly.
Correct. It seems to be that way because none of those four countries are saying anything other than, oh, well, if Greece leaves, don't worry, we're still going to stick around. So I think that's where this whole Greece thing is a little bit blown out of proportion.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you factor in on top of that China, and China's stock market, for those of our listeners who don't know what happened over in China, essentially their stock market is in a massive bubble. I don't know.
But it seems like China snuck up on everyone.
It seemed like no one was
paying close attention. Then all of a sudden, wow, look at China. China's in a train wreck.
To a degree, I think for most of us, we really focused on the stock market in the U.S. It's like sort of Greece. No one was really worried about Greece. It was all sort of fixed. And here we are back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago. But for those people who actually sort of are following the market, it wasn't really a surprise because that deadline was always there and it was always coming, right?
Right.
And it's the same with the Chinese stock market. I mean, that market was on a tear. And I don't know at its peak how many percent it was up, but it was a lot. It was like 200 or 300% in no time at all. And the average price to earnings ratio of the Chinese stocks on the stock, their stock exchange was 64 at the time, at the peak.
64.
Yeah, whereas for the S&P, massively overvalued is like 30, right? And we're
doesn't
right
it
now,
normally hover in like 15?
Well, the
20?
S&P hovers at 15. 15 is normal. When we get to 20 on the S&P here, everyone goes, oh my word, we're in bubble territory. Right now, the S&P is at like 21, 22, I think, or it was until all of this week happened. I don't know, you know, what it is. Now, I haven't looked for the end of the week. But so that's where people are starting to worry in the U.S., saying, wow, these stocks are overpriced. Well, China was 64. I mean, it was like three, almost four times higher than that. So the fact that they came crashing down, and they came down hard. I mean, they down 30% in about 2 or 3 weeks, which is a massive capitulation.
Sure.
But they're still up about 60% for the year or something ridiculous.
So does that mean they still have another 60% to go on the downside?
Well, as you know, with percentages, if we went down 60, they'd really be in trouble, but they might. You know, and then, of course, people are worried now, how's that going to impact the globe? You know, and certainly we can talk about that a little bit later. But I think the thing to realize is that when they did a study of China and the Chinese stockholder, the majority of Chinese stocks are held by mom and pops who virtually got no money. And this is their sort of lottery ticket to try and make money so that they can get themselves out of the hovel. And the rich people in China, the upper echelon, this is not going to affect their existence at all.
Right.
So once again, it's the poor small guy that's getting pounded over there and losing their personal savings. And, you know, they've basically bought into the fact, once again, like all bubbles.
Always going to go up.
Always the small guys that get pounded in the bubbles, isn't it?
Well, that is something that gets tracked in our indexes very closely because it does work just like clockwork. As you see the mom and pops, and that's the small guy starting to really get into the market, you know the market has just about run its course and it's about to roll over. Mm. And the same thing on the other side. As soon as you see that small guy starting to sell out after it, they've lost significantly and can't handle it anymore, that's when you know it's getting close to going back up. And that has held
every time.
Just about as good as any type of market indicator that's ever been invented, created, thought up, imagined, whatever you want to call it.
No, agreed. Well, certainly, I think there's one place where that can benefit from this Chinese crash, and we can talk about that when we come back.
Okay. We can do that. So stick around. When we get back, we will talk about that. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to leadcommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. Freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. You're listening to The Portfolio Doctors. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And Steve teased us with a, we can talk more about that when we get back.
You called it, yeah.
We were talking about China and it struggling and how that could impact. I was reading this week a story, they're questioning whether that is going to cause a flood of money coming from Chinese investors into the real estate market here in the U.S.
No, it could.
Is that what you're hinting at? Or
no, I wasn't hinting at that at all, to be honest. I was just looking at it. Admittedly, I do trade a lot of commodities and things, and one of my things I love to look at is gold. And the Chinese and the Indians are the two biggest consumers of gold right now. And my thought is, with this Chinese stock market just capitulating like this, you might see a lot of Chinese get scared and turn towards more gold purchasing. So when this week or so, you saw gold and silver tried to sell off big time on one day, and they bounced straight back. And that's normally a signal of some kind of a market bottom or price bottom. And to me, it might be showing that the Chinese are moving their assets out of the market and have nowhere else to go. And one place that they can readily gain access to, the smaller guys I'm talking, not the big guys, is gold price. And so you might see a stability in gold or maybe some appreciation, but that's just a speculative guess on my part. But that would be, to me, what I was thinking, that maybe you see some buying in the gold markets. But outside of that, you're right. There are a lot of Chinese that are coming into this market and looking for good acquisitions in terms of the properties. Some of them do it for those, I think it's EB-5 visas. You know, you can get a U.S. citizenship for $1 million investment. But a lot of them are just looking for investments and outside of China.
Sure.
And so
real estate's a big, prestigious.
Yes. Yeah. And I mean, these guys are moving in and buying up. I remember back when I first got to America back in the 80s, everyone was scared that Japan was going to take over the whole U.S. Now people are sort of, no one cares about the Japanese anymore. It's all about China buying up the U.S. real estate, right?
Right, because they're coming in buying million-dollar properties with a high degree of frequency.
So if you want to protect America, buy Ohio.
Buy Ohio. There you go. And with that, let me check, but I believe we've got Dave and RJ on the line with us from Columbus Turnkey Houses. Dave, RJ, how are you guys today?
Hey, guys. It's a beautiful weekend, and just enjoying ourselves out here in Columbus, Ohio.
Great. How is it in comparison to San Diego? I'm sure it's nice, comfortable, 70, 75, not a cloud in the sky.
Yeah, we've had a lot of rain out here in Columbus, but we're feeling great. Got a lot of real estate transactions going on. The rental properties are going great, and just really happy to be here.
Great. We're glad you're here. So what can you share with us, some tidbits of wisdom of what's going on in Columbus? What are the opportunities for our listeners today?
I'm getting a little technical difficulty. Maybe RJ can hear you better over there, RJ.
Yeah, we're seeing a lot of distressed inventory being sold kind of on the MLS. So, you know, a lot of the investors like us are resorting to kind of some of the old traditional ways to get properties through, you know, direct mail and on the streets marketing. So it's kind of good to see that. That means that, you know, a lot of investors are buying. And you know, Dave and I spend a lot of money each month on marketing systems to acquire really good deals here so that we can kind of pass to your clients.
You know, RJ, sorry to interrupt. I was just looking, reading about Ohio. I wasn't even looking for Ohio real estate, and I was just reading about real estate growth around the country. And one of the outstanding investments for the last 12 months actually was Columbus, where the average home real estate has appreciated by 13%, which is, it's been a great market out there for you guys.
It definitely has been. We're, you know, if you look in the Forbes, I saw an article recently that we're in the top 20 hottest markets right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, and typically right now during spring and summer is when we see a boost in sales. So it's a very hot market right now in Columbus.
Yeah, it is. And it's the thing for our listeners to realize is while it is a hot market, it's coming from a very depressed level. So these are not bubble prices by any stretch of the imagination, mainly because the rental income that you get justifies the increase in the prices. There is a good fundamental reason for the values increasing rather than people just speculating on the houses. Can you comment on that?
Yeah, see, when the market is good like this, and, you know, if you're a buy and hold investor, you know, you can just kind of see, we're not really a big appreciation market, but the appreciation is rising when a lot of the home prices are rising, you know. So it's good for our investors when they're buying it at, you know, because we do turnkey, so we're buying it and then getting it rehabbed and then rented, and we still leave a little bit of equity in there for the investors. So it's going to be, it's great for them because they're going to see a little bit of an increase in their appreciation when the market's this hot.
Right, right. Yeah, no, without a doubt. But as I was saying earlier, with the rental rates where they are, giving the yields that it is, I mean, it's that's a market that's not frothy. That's a market that's appreciating based on the fundamentals of the cash flow rather than being frothy and speculative.
And Steve, like you were saying, you know, we're not at bubble prices or anything like that. I'm working with a California, this is Dave, by the way. I'm working with a California investor, found us actually just surfing around online. He read the same articles that apparently you guys know about Columbus, Ohio. And he's getting ready to purchase the property from us. Now, get ready for this. He's buying a property for $45,000 that's rented for $700 a month.
Right. Right. No, I know. I don't know how many times we're going to bang this drum, but I mean, I think a few of our listeners have stood up and started, you know, showing some interest, but these things won't last forever. I mean, they're going pretty quickly, and now that the distressed properties are sort of off the market, the prices are going to have to go up, start going up, which means that the yields are going to start dropping.
Okay, if you can hear us, that'd be better.
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Can you not hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you fine. I wanted to touch on something here. You know, our properties start at $35,000 and go up to, $130,000. And the lower price properties are perfect for somebody that's got some, you know, like a 401k and they want to roll it into an IRA and purchase it through their IRA. It's a great opportunity to kind of get into investment properties at that low entry point.
Right, 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 right. No, I agree with that completely. So I think that our listeners need to step up to the breach and start buying while they're still there, because this isn't going to last forever.
Certainly, I don't think so. But, as the inventory levels are going down, we're kind of resorting to some old school ways to get properties. And, we're going to continue doing that.
Well, great. Thank you guys again. It's always good to have you on, and we really appreciate what you're sharing with our listeners and giving them the opportunities to take advantage of these.
Yes, and for your listeners, again, the way to find us, columbusturnkeyhouses.com, And Steve's absolutely right. We have several properties on our website, but several of them are already accounted for. You know, they are going very fast, and we'd love to work with more of your listeners. But now's a great time to buy, especially in Columbus, Ohio, and not only because of the appreciation, but the cash flow. And again, Columbus Turnkey Houses. We look forward to working with you guys. Thanks again.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, guys. Enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
See you guys.
And once again, that is Dave and RJ with ColumbusTurnkeyHouses.com. And that is a plural, so ColumbusTurnkeyHouses.com. Go to their website, take a look around, see what they're all about. It does seem to be a very good opportunity that is available to get a little better than average return, I would say.
Way better. Yeah. I mean, when you're talking, you know, 14-15% return on your money, plus appreciation, and that's net of fees in terms of property management and everything. It's just, you know, it's the prices of properties have to go up. They have to go up based on cap on
demand.
Some fundamental. And in this case, the fundamental is the rental income. And when you've got yields on the 10-year note around about, call it 2%, and here you've got an opportunity at 14-15% with minimal amounts of risk, those property values are going to start appreciating till eventually they drive that risk down, the return down to something in line with the risk, which is probably a 6-8% return.
Right.
And really, that's why I'm trying to convey to our listeners, this is an opportunity that's here now. They don't have properties that for everybody. There's a certain amount.
Right.
And
there's not that infinite amount of real estate, like in California.
Yeah. And as they start selling out, the prices are going to go up. The yields are going to go down. So, you know, they had tons about 6-8 months ago, and they're rapidly selling out now. So, sure. You know, get them while they're there.
That's right. Well, stick around. When we come back, we will discuss some money moves to make, but probably not. You just need to be aware of some of the risks that could be involved, especially as you're looking towards retirement. You're listening to the Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
And welcome back. You are listening to The Portfolio Doctors. Thank you again for sharing part of your day with us. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Beck.
And
no
Steve,
fireworks this week, though.
No fireworks. It was quite enjoyable last week. My kids really got a kick out of it. They're old enough now to where the loud booming doesn't scare them. And so
I didn't even make the fireworks. I did the true American.
You did the all-day, early day beach.
I did the all-day at the beach, got there at 7 in the morning, left there at 5:30 in the evening, roasted like crazy, exhausted, cooked burgers and dogs all day. And 8:30, that was all I saw.
Couldn't quite get it get to the 9 o'clock start.
I heard distant little poofs and bangs, and it was too bad.
Attaboy. You're blending in finally after 30 years.
Yeah.
Well, Steve, you know how I like to pull up lists that I see, all the different lists that come up every day. You can find a new list of something that's good for you, bad for you, could impact you, may not have any impact on you. And whenever I see one pertaining to retirement or investing, it always catches my eye because I get good humor for this. I mean, these types of lists are the things that have really crafted this show. This is why we are doing this, because there's so much what we feel is bad information overall. So I found a list, 9 money moves that could kill your retirement.
Kill.
That's pretty bad. Pretty permanent to me.
Yeah.
So.
Well, if you die, then you don't have to worry about your retirement.
Correct. Then.
There you go. Sorted.
If you know when you're going to die, then you can more accurately plan.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's one of those items that I see all the time doing financial planning where people don't plan ahead, don't really lay out a game plan. They just think, well, I'm going to retire without any real specific game plan. It's just like getting a GPS unit and disabling it, knowing where your location is, and then typing in an address. This is where I want to go.
Right.
You're going to struggle to find your way to that location if you don't know where you are now.
Right.
So with this, and this first one caught my eye because this is something I saw a lot of back in 05, 06, 07. The first on the list, raiding your home equity.
Raiding.
And to me, this is just the equivalent of what we saw, where people were using their home and the equity that had built up in the home as an ATM machine.
Right.
To go buy new cars, to buy boats, to buy, you name it, any recreational activity.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a firm believer in raiding your ATM machine of your house. But you need to raid it for the right thing. You're right. If you're raiding it to go and buy a round-the-world plane ticket and go and blow it all on a party somewhere, or a boat or an RV or whatever, then that's a waste. That's squandering. That's not raiding. To me, raiding is, if you're going to go raid it for something good. Raid it for an investment.
Right.
You know, seriously, I'm fine with leveraging up a little bit, getting cheap money and using that cheap money to go and invest elsewhere, like, as we've mentioned, Ohio properties, or like, you know, other investments that are around. Speculating on the stock market, I don't think that's a good idea. You know, speculating anywhere is a bad idea. But if you're actually investing properly, you're doing a proper investment, then I say go ahead and raid. If you're not doing a proper investment, if it's halfway speculative or something that just I have to have because my neighbors have it,
right,
then that's not when you go and use your house equity. Now, sometimes you use it for no investment reason other than, you know, my son contracted cancer and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure he lives or she lives. And that's also fine. You
know? Absolutely.
But outside of those types of reasons, just to go, hey, look at me. My house has grown in value. You should be saying that and going, wow, I'm one step closer to retirement now. How can I accelerate that retirement benefit by taking it and investing it in another safe type of investment and making money off that?
Sure.
But, you know.
And on the flip side of that, if you are going to raid that equity, you need to make sure that that's still a manageable payment.
Exactly right.
And that's where I think all these people, they were going in, taking $100,000 or $200,000 out of their appreciated value, and blowing it and not having anything, and now all of a sudden their payment went from, call it, $1,500 to $2,500.
It's the, yeah. And this is where I'm all about this, what I call the spread play. So let's assume you've got $100,000 of equity in your house, okay? And you can't quite manage to pay that $100,000 back, right? If you drew on it, it would be a struggle to make that payment. But if you took that $100,000, okay, and you bought two properties, say, in Ohio, that are yielding 15%, right? So now you're making $15,000 a year on that $100,000, okay? Plus, you're paying those properties down. Well, they know they paid, they're free and clear, so don't worry about that. Plus the appreciation. And you take that $15,000 and you apply it to that $100,000 excess that you've borrowed, that's going to be paid off real quick.
Right.
And guess what? Now you've got that $100,000 back again and you can do it again. And those first two properties you've bought are still paying you $15,000.
Right.
That's how you create proper wealth. And that, to me, is not raiding the piggy bank. That's smart investing.
Right. That's using leverage wisely.
Right. That's how you create wealth. And if you don't understand what I've said, you'd better get on the phone and call us, because you need to understand this right away. That's how we're going to get you to where you want to go.
Right.
One of the ways. There's a million. That's just one.
Sure.
Yeah.
Another one here. Failing to put away anything. Unfortunately, being a financial planner, I see this with regularity. Someone who's 55 or older comes to me and says, well, you know, I want to sit. I wanted to come and meet with you today because I need to start planning for retirement. Mm-hmm. And they're 55 and they're considering retirement at 60 or 65.
So it's too late for me.
It's still possible, but you've definitely made it much harder. This is a very steep uphill climb in order to plan properly.
I've had people come to me that are 60 years old and they've got $30,000. How do I retire, basically? And I mean, I'm definitely the wrong guy to talk to when it comes to that stuff.
I'm sure you're really polite and you kind of soften the blow a little bit, right?
No, but to me, in that example, and you can, this is just my thought, right? Mm-hmm. And you can tell me what your thought would be. To my thought is, okay, you're 60, call it, you've got, let's assume you're going to work till you're 70, so you've got 10 years to go. You've got $35,000. $35,000, if you divide it by, you know, I don't know, if you need $2,000 a month, it's going to last you a year and a half. So $35,000 really is not going to get you anywhere. Mm-hmm. Okay. My thought is find the most speculative private equity investment you can and hope like mad that thing gets you
10 times or 20 times return.
You need a 10 or 20x return in the next 5 years. And the only way you're going to get that I know of is in the private equity market. And so go there. And that's not really solid financial planning advice, because essentially there's a high probability that $30,000-$35,000 could be gone.
Right, gone.
But the way I look at it is, well, it doesn't really matter whether you had that $30,000 anyway, because it's not going to help you. Right. It'll help you for a year. But really, at the end of the day, you're ultimately back revolving. Your life revolves around what you get from Social Security. Mm-hmm. So move to a cheaper state and hope that you can make it. But I don't know. What are your thoughts? What would you tell somebody?
It would be a really long, difficult conversation of really laying out what does retirement look like to you. What would you consider the ideal retirement, and get a clear picture of what that looks like, and then unfortunately go and face the reality. Maybe that $30,000 is enough if you've got a place to live. Mm. Maybe there's more to the picture than just all I have is $30,000 in the bank.
This is why our listeners mustn't come and ask me these questions, because I need everyone knows on the air, I need $10 million to retire. Right. So to me, 35, I mean, I, you know, go big with that or go home. When you've got maybe 100, 200, 300K, we can start looking at alternatives. But I don't know, at 60, and also, look, if you've got $35,000 and you're 25, oh, you're well on your way. Now let's work on that and let's look very carefully how we can allocate it, because you've got the time for that to appreciate.
Sure.
What I'm trying to say here on the air is that it all comes down to how much time do we have to turn that 35 into something meaningful. Mm-hmm. If you're giving me 3 years, then just you know, go to Vegas and put the whole lot on black and hopefully it hits, right? If you've got 30, 40 years, then you've got the power of compounding that can really start kicking in. And even if you're getting 5 to 8%, you're going to get somewhere with that. So that's really what I'm trying to say in there. You know, I'm not trying to scare people and, you know, say I'm a wild man. It's just, hey, let's look up to reality. And you've got to give as much time as you can. So that's why you must listen to the show and learn from it.
Right. And that really emphasizes and brings back the importance of just getting started.
Yeah.
Even if you're 50 and you haven't started, start now. If you're 55 and you haven't started, start now. This will give you at least some amount of time to accumulate some degree of wealth to hopefully create the ability to retire. But, I mean, we talk about this all the time. And that's why my answer was, let's sit down and take a look at what retirement looks like. Because if you're doing something you truly love, is it really work? And do you need to retire?
Right. No, agreed. But then if you take just the rule of thumb, let's assume you don't have that, and you're supposed to draw down like 4 or 5% of that a year, and you take 30 grand and you take 5%, what's that? That's $1,500 a year you're supposed to live on. Wow, you've added an extra $100 a month to your retirement.
Sure.
You know, good luck with that. Seriously.
Right. And you probably have a little bit of a skewed view because we do live here in San Diego. Things are more expensive.
I did live in Oklahoma before.
See, that 30 grand would go a lot further in Oklahoma than it does in San Diego.
Buy a house for that.
So it is possible. Maybe there's family somewhere else. And that's where you need to really look at the whole picture, not just what the bank account says.
Like we talk about, and go to Ohio, buy one of those houses from Dave and RJ, live in it free and clear. There you go.
Sure.
So, I mean, you're right. I'm looking at it specifically from if you want to live in this town and enjoy yourself.
And there are plenty of reasons to stay in San Diego.
Yeah.
I must say. Well, when we come back, we will try to get near the bottom of this list. We always struggle to get to the bottom because we have long-winded conversations like this on these points.
I won't say anything.
Because we feel they're very important points to get across. So you are listening to The Portfolio Doctors, AM 1170, The Answer.
AM 1170, TheAnswer.com. Hear us anywhere in San Diego and the world. AM 1170, The Answer.
Business owners, are you tired of using multiple software solutions to run your business? Are you sick of the constant updates and having to pay your IT staff or a third-party company to manage your software systems? If you can answer yes to any of these questions, then you need Lead Commerce. Lead Commerce is a cloud-based software system that runs your entire business, from your website to e-commerce to inventory, purchasing, and order management. Lead Commerce does it all. For a free 15-day trial of Lead Commerce, log on to LeadCommerce.com. That's www.leadcommerce.com. Start your free trial today. You'll be glad you did.
Remember those warm, sun-filled days relaxing on the beach in Hawaii? Can't wait to go again? Well, now you can have a taste of Hawaii delivered to your door by going online and ordering some melt-in-your-mouth deliciousness from HawaiiFudge.com. What better way to shake off the stresses of the world than biting into a smooth, creamy chocolate macadamia nut sensation? Or how about our Kona Coffee Lava Flow? Just go to HawaiiFudge.com and place your order online today. That's HawaiiFudge.com.
According to the U.S. Census Bureau, over 90 million people in the U.S. own mutual funds. Now, I wonder how many of those people have read all the fine print associated with those investments. The good news is you don't have to figure it out on your own. Let me introduce you to Dan Osgood. Dan is a certified financial planner and actually a friend. Through his website, freeinvestmentaudit.com, he will do a free risk and cost analysis for any investment portfolio you have. This free analysis will find all the hidden fees and uncover the missing money from your investments. Most people don't think they're paying any fees at all, but trust me, you definitely are. The question is, how much in fees are you paying for the investments you have? If you have a retirement account or a bond portfolio of any kind, go to freeinvestmentaudit.com right now and get your free analysis. You deserve to know what your investments are really costing you. freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com. That's freeinvestmentaudit.com.
San Diego's home for intelligent, conservative talk. AM 1170, The Answer.
Welcome back. It is the Portfolio Doctors Radio Show. My name is Dan Osgood.
And I'm Steve Bick.
And I want to remind you all that most of these shows come to be based on questions that we receive from you, the listeners. And we want to encourage you, any question you have, even if you think it is a dumb question, please feel free to reach out, ask us. We promise we won't ridicule anyone on air. We won't even name names. We will just discuss the topic and really try to put it into the right perspective, whether it's a good thing, a bad thing. We never know until we hear the question, and we will try to give you the best answer and also give you both sides of how you want to look at whatever the item may be, whether it's buying a piece of real estate, investing in the stock market, putting money into an IRA or a Roth, or if any type of insurance is correct. We are here as a resource, and we would love to hear from you so we can continue to do what we do every week here. And the best way to do that is to reach out to us via email or through our website. You can reach us online. It's steve@theportfoliodoctors.com. or dan@theportfoliodoctors.com. You can also go to our website, www.theportfoliodoctors.com. So let's get back to this list now that we're a whopping two or so items in.
Yeah.
This is one you really love. I think I showed part of this list to you, and you rolled your eyes and started laughing out loud, but okay. Helping adult kids financially.
Yeah, right.
What are your thoughts there? I understand they are your children. You want to help them. You want to see them succeed. And this is a challenge. This one could even go back to the first item of rating the home equity. I have seen cases where people have gone in, they have their house paid down significantly. They go in and take out $250,000 to help their kids purchase a house that maybe they can't quite afford. And that can very negatively impact your ability to be retired or living comfortably.
Yeah. It's so hard to address this topic without really annoying a whole bunch of people out there, because my view is firmly in the camp of anti-fragile, which, as our listeners who have listened to me forever have heard, that I believe in trying to create things that get better or get stronger with adversity. And I am a parent, and I do want to support my son as much as I possibly can, but I've seen the negative impacts, and it goes on and on, of over-helpfulness and overly giving to kids. They don't learn to stand on their own two feet, and they don't learn to take care of themselves properly. And so I think not only then is it a detriment to the person's retirement, because now you don't have enough to retire on, but now you've got a kid that's basically stuck with their hand out permanently and doesn't have the ability to fight and claw their way to the top, which is really what it takes these days. I mean, the competitive world is unfortunately really more and more competitive by the day. And so if you don't have those sort of skills of the street, and every time there's a roadblock, you can turn around to your parents and just get some money handed out to you, unfortunately you just become soft. Right. And you then become, it's like, you know, don't feed the animals, right? In the parks. And that's my stance on it. And I'm sure it's ruffling a ton of people's feathers out there, but it's been proven over and over and over again. The people that get to the top and stay at the top, they're fighters, they're dynamic. They don't take no for an answer. Mm-hmm. And the person who's constantly running home to get the next handout is not that person.
Right.
And so not only are you hurting your personal retirement, but you're hurting your kid. And I'm not saying if there's a desperate, dire need that, you know, they're on the street, they're homeless. I mean, for goodness sakes, let's get real about this. Obviously, you're going to help them at that point. But I know people personally that constantly do handouts. They've got kids that are 40, 45 years old, and they're still paying on their student debt and stuff like this. I'm like, why? Oh, well, I always have, and I just feel that I should. And I'm like, well, can't they support themselves? You can barely retire now. You're 65, almost 70. you can't retire. You've shoved $100,000 into their school tuition and you keep paying and you can't afford it. Why aren't they at 45 years old able to stand on their own 2 feet? So that's really my gripe. It's those types of handouts I'm talking about.
And then with that, looking at that argument from a financial planning perspective, if you want to help, at least I don't take it that you're saying, no, absolutely, you cannot.
Oh, believe you me, I'll help my son as much as I can to a point.
Right, and that's just it, to a point. And you need to really look, and that again, is the importance of having a real financial plan that you're reviewing with regularity to determine if I provide a little bit of help, is that going to negatively impact what I've outlined as my most important goals? Because if that's the case, then you need to go back and redefine those goals or stick to them and make the decision based around those items, not by just saying, oh, I have to help my children. Yes, you want to, but at the same time, I would have to agree with what Steve's saying here that unfortunately, the society is changing and it's becoming more of a handout-driven society. And it is kind of holding a lot of people back because it's too easy to just say, help me, you always have, give me more money.
I mean, I've read stories of single moms, for example, with a couple of kids. The mom's basically killing herself to survive.
Working three jobs.
The daughter or the son or both of them are asking for an extra $200, $300, $400 a month, right? Because they can't afford New York or whatever. And she's living in, you know, somewhere cheaper. And so she's working overtime, killing herself. And then when they come to visit, they happily go to Starbucks and buying cappuccinos and stuff. And she doesn't even go there because she can't afford the $4. And it's the $300 or $400 she's sending them that they're just blowing on parties and stuff. I mean, that stuff just drives me crazy.
Right.
Because that's just not fair. And it's really that the all the giving ends up being a self-reliant and then not self-reliant. They're reliant on the handouts and then just becoming spoiled. Anyway.
Yes.
There you go. I won't get more wild up about that.
Yeah, you're getting a little wound up here.
Give me an easier one.
Calming down. One of the other items, poor investment choices. Again, that I think is a very easily fixable by laying out a proper financial plan. If you understand what your goals are, you don't have to worry. And we've talked about this before. So many people talk about, I can beat the index. Whatever index they choose, it could be the NASDAQ, the S&P, the Dow. It doesn't matter. But if you lay out a goal like that, and you're able to do that every year, but not able to achieve any of your important goals based on what's truly important to you, like maybe it is retiring, maybe it is traveling, maybe it is spending more time with your family, but you're beating the index every year, but you're unable to do those things. Or what would be the better picture of never once beating a single index, but achieving all those other more important things, spending hours and hours and hours with your kids and your grandkids, if that's important to you. Traveling, seeing the world, those types of activities.
Living your life, in other words.
Correct. Living your life based on the activities and the values that are most important to you. I think people get too caught up in the whole investment choices, and I have to have this allocation because I put my data into some internet calculator and it told me I had to have this percentage of everything. And I think people get too caught up in that.
Right.
And then how about Social Security, taking Social Security as soon as you can?
Yeah, that's a big no-no. I mean,
but it's a tough one because nobody knows when their time has come.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
but doesn't your spouse get it if you die early or not?
Typically, it's 50% of what your benefit was.
Okay. I think maybe then if you don't know if you're going to die or not, I mean, you know, when I'm going to die. But outside of everyone else needs to probably just look at your longevity within your family and make your best guess on that.
And that's about the only thing you can do.
Right.
If you have a history in your family of no one living past 50 or 55, then I probably recommend you take it as soon as possible.
I'll give you an example. It happens to be me. What if everyone on your dad's side died by 60 and everyone on your mom's side still alive and kicking at 95. I mean, you're really in a quandary, which is sort of where I am. I'm assuming I'm going to live longer than 60, but maybe not 95.
Right.
So maybe I should take it at like 68.
Well, it is one of those items when you're doing planning. If you can afford, if you're in a position where you don't need the Social Security,
yeah.
By not taking it, you're paying yourself an additional 8% per year.
Is that right?
So
that's a significant amount.
Right. So if you're getting that growth, however, if you do take it today, you're a bird in the hand.
Yeah.
You have a lot of years to catch up depending on how long you can wait. So it you can do calculations and have a pretty good idea where the break-even point is and see if it makes sense.
The first time you can take it is at what?
I think it's moved up. It was 62 or 63. I don't know exactly. Don't quote me on that. But it's prior to 65, 66.
And you have to
But you are taking a discounted rate then. Full retirement, I think, is up to 66 years old now.
But you have to start drawing on it at age, what is it, 75 or 2 or something like that?
I don't know. I'm not a Social Security expert.
I think there is an age up there where you have to start drawing on it, whether you like it or not.
Okay. We can research that and get back to you next week on it. Well, that just about does it for us today. Thank you again for listening. Again, any questions you have, please feel free to reach out to us via email, Steve or Dan at theportfoliodoctors.com. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer. To schedule a financial health check, go to theportfoliodoctors.com. Or to speak with Dan Osgood, Steve Bick, or any guest on this program, call 858-764-7250. That's 858-764-7250. Learn more about the show online at theportfoliodoctors.com. Portfolio Doctors are Dan Osgood and Stephen Bick, investment advisor representatives for their respective investment firms, ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC. The opinions expressed on the Portfolio Doctors are their own. They do not reflect those of ACAS LLC, Cottingham Management Company LLC, or this radio station. The information you heard is for educational purposes only. No listener should assume that the discussions serve as a substitute for personal advice from ACAS LLC or Cottingham Management Company LLC. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or investment advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. ACAS LLC and Cottingham Management Company LLC are not law or accounting firms, and no portion of this presentation should be interpreted as legal, accounting, investment, or tax advice.
The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego. The Portfolio Doctors on AM 1170, The Answer, is sponsored by Mr. Credit San Diego.